So we are holding on Tess's, I'm told we're holding on Tess's Ayin of Aleph, about 15 lines, 15 lines from the bottom. Line begins up. Right, more or less opposite Hagadah Sabah. Okay, continuing on the, on darshaning various sukkim from Eov and the whole story over there. Yesterday the Gemara had said that that in his heart he did wrong, and then afterwards we talked about a couple of psukim where he's saying things that are inappropriate. So here's another one. Pasuk says, Eov says in one of his speeches, "Kola onan vayelach," just as a cloud disappears and goes away, "Kain yodet sha'ol lo yala," so also one who goes down into sha'ol, meaning the grave, is not going to come up. Well, it sounds exactly like what it means. There's no Sheshem Eisim. From here we see that Eov denied Sheshem Eisim, which is a pretty serious thing.
Very serious.
And mind you, I mean, Marsha brings that Rashi on the Pasuk, gives a different explanation. I thought it's in continuation of Eov saying, look, a person lives such a short life. What are you harassing me while I'm alive for? Like a person goes down into the grave and then that's it, fine, you know, not dealing with Tzeis HaMeisim, that's not relevant for the purpose, in other words, but still, you know, it's another one of those things, responsible Leichata, Belibre Chata, still, what did he actually mean by it? Yeah. Hey, there is
what he said?
This is what he said, but what does he mean by it? So that's the thing, because does it mean, like Rashi says it on the Pasuk over there, that he's just saying, in context over there, look, a person lives and then dies and goes into the grave, what are you harassing me while I'm alive for? Or is it that you take it out?
The fact that he says it, it's not offensive.
Okay, that's, you can look at it either way. I'll tell you, by the way, a very interesting thing. First of all, we'll learn on Ahmed Bey's that Eov wasn't held to account for the various things he says. But I'll tell you also a very interesting thing that Malbim says on the psukim over there at the end of Eov. He learns that Eov, in his very last words to the Eivishter there at the end of the Sefer, he says, actually, all this time I fully believed in you. All this time when I'm arguing that you're unjust and this and that we learned yesterday, that was all to be a devil's advocate. I want to have it clarified how the Eivish Shataka runs the world. And so my friends are each arguing in their own way how the Eivish does it. And of course, you always need an antagonist. So I put myself up as the antagonist.
That's good.
But you'll see on Ahmed Bey's that there's actually... Hold on. You'll see on Ahmed Bey's that actually there's a pasuk that supports what the Malbim says.
For those who said, the man that Allah just said that he lived out of time of Moshe Rabbeinu, how can you not believe in the Eivishter?
Who says he didn't believe in the Eivishter? We said yesterday that he's complaining against the Eivishter. Dikish lakach kar al pia. Yeah, we didn't say he doesn't believe in the Eivishter. Here we're talking about a specific thing, Tzeis HaMeisim. Okay, anyway, onward, let's continue. Look, I mean, we could forbring about every line of this Gemara, but we have to just go ahead. Okay, onward. Pasuk says, in another one of Eov's speeches, he said, he complains, Asher b'sa'ara yishufeni, that for a sa'ara, which sa'ara can mean a hair, or it can mean a storm, he hurt me, the hair b'psa'achinam, and he increased my wounds without a good, Hashem, he's talking about, and he increased my wounds for no reason. So Amar Rabba, Eov b'sa'ara chayrach b'sa'ara hashivuhu. Eov spoke disrespectfully about Hashem using the word sa'ara, and he was answered by Hashem also using a sa'ara, namely like this. Now, what does he mean by this? It means that Eev says, Rebbeinu Shalom, Shema Ruach Sa'ara Avra Lefanecha, is it maybe that a storm wind went and passed in front of you, and therefore you mixed up Eev and Oyev, and therefore you think that I'm your Oyev? What does it mean? Different Mephoshim talk about Marsha and Maral.
If the wind could blow itself without being...
So I'll tell you. So Marsha talks about that what he's arguing is maybe he's denying to a certain extent the idea of Ashgacha Pratis. He's arguing maybe the Eivishter doesn't directly direct people's affairs. Maybe he leaves it in the hands of Malachim. And Malachim can get mixed up. There's a Gemara in Chagiga, for example, that mentions the Malach getting mixed up and taking the wrong person's neshama. Malach the Malach Mavet. We said yesterday, who sought Neitzaro Malach Mavet, that one time he takes the wrong person's neshama. So he's arguing maybe it's the same kind of, maybe you delegated it to the Malachim, and therefore, yes. Also, by the way, Marsha says a very interesting idea.
What Tara said, Shem is good on the seed, but he's not good on
that. That wasn't Tara, that was Titus. But yeah, okay. Yeah, it's a different kind of thing. But anyway, speaking of Tara, though, Marsha says another interesting idea. Tara is the one who can be called Oyev without further qualification. In this week's parasha, and she'll say, yeah, Oma Oyev Erde Pasiv. He's called the Oyev.
Right.
Eov, we said the other day, is the one, he was one of Tara's advisors, and he's the one who kept quiet when the advice came up what to do about the Jewish people. No, so that's the thing. He's arguing, but I was quiet. I didn't actually say to enslave them like Tare did. Is it possible, Hashem, that maybe you're mixing up and you're confusing me, who was quiet, with Tare, who actually did the evil? Anyway, the Sfarad Hashem.
Maybe it's Balak.
Okay, but Balak, I don't think it's called specifically. Okay. The Sfarad Hashem, who had the Eidosh to answer him with a Sfarad, Dichtiv, at the end, near the end of the Sefer, you have Vayan Hashem, Min HaSfarad, by Yom HaGomer. Hashem answers him from a storm, and he speaks, and he says, Ezer Nakagever Chalosecha, bind up your loins, your waist, like a man. Esh'olcha Vahidiani, and I will ask you, and I want you to tell me. And then the Eidosh goes on in several prakim over there describing the amazing things in nature that the Eidosh created. So Rashi said, the metaphor is like we say every morning in davening. A person puts on a belt,
yeah,
and therefore. Exactly. But actually, Rashi mentions an interesting thing on the pasuk. All this time, Eiv is complaining, I'm too weak, I'm too sick. Even if I were to have a chance to argue directly with the Eidosh, so what? He'd overwhelm me with his power because I'm just too weak to be able to argue my point cogently, coherently. So the Eidosh tells him, I'll heal you. I'll make you better. Now you can gird yourself like a strong person. Now go ahead and see if you're able to answer me. It's a fascinating sefer, yeah, by the way. It's too bad that we have to just run through it so quickly, but it's a sefer that's very, very much worth studying.
Why don't you do a Nachyomi class?
I have already this. Yeah. That's been asked before, but I'm just saying.
From 7:30 to 8:30.
Come on, there. Onward. Come on. So the Eivishta said to Eiv, like, here's an example of a sa'ara. Not only am I answering you minach sa'ara from a storm, but I'm going to answer you using the other meaning of sa'ara, a hair. Having nimin barasi ba'ara. Sa'ara is a hair, like I said. With sa'ara, with a samach means a storm. So having nimin barasi ba'ara, I created many hairs in a person. Every hair I created a follicle of its own. So you don't have two hairs taking their nutrition from one follicle. Because if you had two hairs coming out of one follicle and both getting their nutrition from the same person, it would overwhelm the person's body. It would darken a person's eyes because the amount of bodily energy that's going there would be too much. Ben guma leguma leneskalafli. I didn't confuse one follicle for another. Ben iyev loyev neskalafli. And you're thinking I confused iyev loyev. Here's another one. The Eidosh continues later in that. I know the difference between two follicles, and you think the two follicles on one hair, and you're thinking that I'm mixing you up, and I don't know who you really are yet. Another one. Me pilag l'shetef to all of them. Here's another one. The Eidosh tells him who separated a path for the stream, meaning that he says, have a tip in barasi ba'oven. I created many drops of water in the clouds. Called tip of a tip of barasi ba'oven. Every drop I created its own form, its own shape that it comes out of to become one raindrop. So you don't have two drops coming out of the same place, the same form. Because you have two drops coming out of one form like that. They would muddy up and make the ground, it would become too wet, basically, to be able to be fertile. The inimitiapatus, and it wouldn't be able to be able to produce fruit. So again, being tipple in the scallopy. I don't even confuse one drop with another in the cloud. Being Eiv lo Eiv in the scallopy. You think I confuse Eiv with Eiv. Okay. So we have to ask, the Gemara interjects, my mashma dahai tola lishna d'fusi. Where do you get the idea that the word ta'ala means a d'fus, means a form, means something shaped to fit something? The answer is, Amar Rabba Bashila, d'chtiv, vayak ta'ala kadeh sasayim zera. Because you find,
the question is,
how do we know what the word ta'ala means? When Eidosh says, me pilag v'shet of ta'ala, what is the word ta'ala? We're saying that the Eidosh is saying, I made a d'fus for each drop of rain, but how do you see? How does the word ta'ala represent d'fus? Because you find by the Yohan, Navi on Harakamel, that after he built his Mizbeach, it says he made a trench about the size of a base of time around his Mizbeach and then filled it with water. So we see that Ta'ala is like a trench, like something that's dug out, something that's shaped out deliberately for a certain thing to fit inside. Okay. Onward, the Eidosh continues in the same pasuk, the Derech L'Haziz Koilus, the Eidosh continues, I made a path for the sounds of the lightning, meaning habikolus barasi ba'avim, I created many thunderbolts in the clouds. Each thunderbolt, each lightning bolt, whatever, I created a different path for it. You don't have two lightning bolts coming on along the same path. Because if not, then the sound of it would be too intense and it would destroy the whole world. Then I don't confuse one thunderbolt with another. Then you're thinking I confuse Iyev and Oyev. Next, the Eibishter continues in the next parak. Again, this is all part of one. He gives many examples, many different examples from different places in nature, different things that the Eibishter created, where each one of them shows a chachma of the Eibishter. So far, these three we're talking about being able to separate one thing from another. The next two are going to be time ones. The next two are going to show how everything is timed to the millisecond. Next parak, the Eibishter continues. This is all part of one long speech over there. The Eibishter continues. Hayadaita eis ledes yalei sela. Do you know the moment when the wild goats on the rocks give birth? Chol ayolos tishmer. Are you able to watch? He's saying to Iyev. Each of these things, the Eibishter is telling Iyev, look at this amazing thing that I created in the world. Do you think you even begin to understand it? Do you think you can even begin to do anything like it? No. So vos restes. Can you watch and expect the exact moment when the ayolos, the deer, the gazelles, whatever, give birth? What does this mean? What do these two things mean? So the first one is like this. Yalos v'achzores al banel. The mountain goat is cruel to her children. V'shar shekeras l'ledes. So when she kneels down and is ready to give birth, ola l'resh ahar, she goes up to the top of a mountain, so that the baby will fall off the side of the mountain and die. V'ani mazmin l'nech. I'm not a zoologist, but I guess there's some speeches of that. Yeah, maybe this is prepartum depression, but yeah. That's the labor pains are very strong and make them do crazy things. I don't know. Anyway. Vani Mazmin Lam Nesher. So the Eibishter continues, I preordained that there should be a Nesher, that there should be an eagle or a vulture, whatever it is, Shemakabla the Knuff of Manichalapanao, who catches the baby as it's falling, who catches the baby in his wings and places it in front of the mother, and then of course she accepts it. You don't see.
I've seen videos of eagles.
Okay.
Picking up lambs and.
Okay. A Nesher is not necessarily an eagle. There's many who've shown him to say that. Many who've shown him to say that Nesher is a vulture, yeah.
But you could see some videos of eagles.
Okay.
Picking up kind of thing that's.
Yeah, okay. Fine. Okay, so this is it. Yeah. V'ilmoli machdeh marsha adds, by the way, the vote is usually a nesher is a bird of prey. Usually, like you're saying, it would take lambs and kids and whatever and eat them. Here, fakir, the Eibishter is taking that thing, which is usually destructive, and using it to save the baby mountain goat.
Why did he create these things?
I don't know.
It's a combination. In other words, a bird of bad things to look at. I mean, it has some good qualities.
Yeah, of course. Okay, V'ilmoli machdim rega echad or misacha rega echad. Now, if this nesher was even a second, where it was even a second too early or too late, miyad mes, then the baby would die. Then regular, and it's chalafli. See, I don't even confuse one moment with another. Then iyev loyev, and it's chalafli. You're thinking I confuse iyev and oyev. And the pasuk continues, chalal ayolos tishmer. Can you expect the exact moment when the ayola, the deer or the gazelle or whatever, is going to give birth? What does this mean? Ayola zurashi. Tishma, cholo means to give birth, like cholo Hashem yicholo layolos. Tishma means can you expect it? Can you predict the exact second?
Why the word cholo?
Cholo is another. It's another word. I don't know. Whatever. It's one of the words for birth pangs. Chil kayeleda in the Shir Shoyim of Monday. Whatever. Yeah. So what is it? Maybe the vort is because we're not talking so much. We're talking here. This next one we're going to talk about is about something that's necessary in order for the birth to even take place. The previous one is after the birth takes place, the nesher has to be there to catch it. Here we're talking about to make the birth possible in the first place. Namely, ayolo zurach matzar. This gazelle has a very narrow womb. The shasha keras lo ledes. So when it kneels down, ready to give birth, the baby is not going to be able to get out on its own. Ani mazmin lo darkein. So I prepare there a snake. Shemakisha beveis harechem, which bites it on the womb, or misrapa mamilada, and it gets loosened, or misrape, maybe it's a teal, different gerasoyas over here, and the mother is able to give birth. V'yomole makdim rega echadim acha rega echad miyan meisa. If the snake was even a moment too early or too late, then the mother would die too early, because then her body would get poisoned, like this, when she gives birth to the baby, then the venom comes out with it, or Ben Yoyada says also maybe at the moment of birth, her body secretes a hormone or something that neutralizes the venom, whatever it is, or if she was too late, then she wouldn't be able to give birth. So again, being regular nischalafli. Again, I don't even confuse one moment with another. Being iyev loyev nischalafli.
You think the fact that we usually don't see eagles or vultures
We usually don't see how many people have gone and watched. I don't know. I mean,
you see them.
You see some kinds of eagles. You see some kinds of mountain goats or whatever. Are we talking necessarily the same ones, the same exact subspecies that's in the area of Israel? I don't know.
Nesha can be any bird of prey?
Not necessarily. No, no. There's many different birds of prey. Nesha, Nates, whatever. There's a whole. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So, Ben Eov Loiv Neskalafi, and you're thinking I mixed up Eov and Oyev. Bottom line, Eov Loiv Adas Yadavar Advarav Loiv Ahasko. Eov is not speaking with understanding, and his words are not with any sense.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Now, but you have a passage that says later on, at the end of the story, the Eivishta says to the three friends, to Eliphaz and Bildad and so far, that you didn't speak to me right the way my servant Eov did.
So
Marshall takes out that it's in parenthesis over here because Marshall takes it out. He says the Gemara is not trying to point out a contradiction between the two psukim. The Gemara is just saying, even after all of that, even after we're saying on Amud Aleph all the harsh things that Eov said, all that, the cursish things, etc., that he said, still we're not saying that he's a Rasha. We're saying like Bedas Yadav, he's not speaking with knowledge, with understanding. In other words, we're coming to his defense. We're coming to his defense. So that's the question.
Yeah, we're coming to his defense, but what ground do we stand on to say things like that?
Wait, that's the answer. So that's Marshall takes out that one, but most of the other Mephoshim have both of them. They explain it's not really so much a contradiction between the Psukim. It's we see on the one hand, but we see the Eivishter is not the Eivishter, Elihu, actually, this Eir of Lebedas Yadav comes from Elihu's speech. He's defending Eov and saying, look, he's not a Rasha, he's just not talking, he's talking nonsense. But, in other words, that all of the bad things that he said are, later on you have the Eivishter also sort of overlooking all the bad things that he said and saying, look, Eov said good things, you guys did not. So, in other words, we see that all the bad things that Eov is saying are being overlooked. Elihu is characterizing them as nonsense, the Eivishter is completely ignoring them. Why? Amar Rava, Mikan She'enonim Nitfas B'Shach Tzairis. The Rava says, from this we see that a person is not to be held for account when he speaks harshly, when he speaks like this, because of Tzair V'Yisurin. Yeah, that's what Rashi explains. That's why it's not called Beresha. And that's why the Eivishter says also, I'm willing to overlook all the...
This
was all during the Yisurin. Most of Sefer Yir takes place during the time of Yisurin. All the speeches back and forth between him and his friends and then the Eivishter's argument with him and whatever. Yeah, yeah. I mentioned when we were starting, Malbim's explanation that Eov really says at the end, you should know, I really was faithful to the Eivishter all along, I'm arguing all these things only because somebody has to be on the opposite side in order to argue, you have a pro and con argument, so somebody has to take the con side. He says also, you see it from this process. He says, you see, the Eivishter is giving his imprimatur to that. He's saying, yes, Eov spoke harshly, but we're ignoring that because he was doing it for a good reason and he meant well in his heart. You friends, that the Eivishter is saying, did the other way around. You're talking, it sounds very frum. Yeah, a person only gets punished because of their averus, and Eivishter is always just, and stuff, but you didn't really believe it in your heart. And therefore, the Eivishter says, I hold you responsible, and Eov has to go down for you.
So it's more important to your heart.
So in other words, it's more important to be truthful rather than to be hypocritical and say, that's the Malbim.
The worst thing to say if someone's in Tzar is, oh, you have a very...
Indeed, we learned in Bava Metzia that's an Onas Dvarim, is to tell him, like his friend told him that, Zechor no mihu naki avad, look, where do you ever find that an innocent person was harmed? So you're harmed, so obviously you're not innocent. Yeah, many of their speeches are along those lines, and it really hurt ears, yeah.
Right, I think it's in the Shulchan Aruch too.
Okay, getting back to the story. Pasuk says, right after all these disasters happened to Eov, Vayishmu Shloshes Rei Eov Eskalad Ra Azayis HaBa'alav, three friends of Eov heard about all this evil that had befallen him. Vayavoyu Ishmael Mekoymei, so each of them came from his place. Eliphaz Atimoni Yubildad Ashrufi B'tzefa Anamasi. Vayivadu Yachta, they all, Vayivadu kind of means like they made an appointment together. Lovoy Lonud Loyu L'Nachmei, to come and commiserate with him and comfort him.
Jewish Midah, were they Yidden?
We discussed before whether they were Jews or Goyim, right? We didn't come, we said Eov. Yeah. We said Eov may or may not have been. Elihu, we said, was a Jew. These three, we said, Bavashtos, we said they were Goyim, but still, Goyim can have good midas also. Especially, we said over there they were Nevi'im. So, my Vayvadu Yachta, what's this Vayvadu Yachta? Like, they specially made an appointment to come together. Amar of Yehud Amar Rav, Malamach and Nichnas Kulim B'Sha'arecha. It means that they all came into the city through the same gate. They all came each from their respective place. They all arrived there at the same time. V'tana. The point, because to show that they're in solidarity. V'tana, and we learn in a b'raisa, ben kolach abachav shlosh meis parsi. Each one lives 300 parsa apart from the other. Not 300 is one of those numbers the Gemara uses sometimes as an indefinitely large number, as a guzma, but still it means they live very far apart. But still they all came at the same time. So the question is, menah habayadi, in that case, then how do they know? Marsha points out, the point of the question is, if they were told, let's say, messengers came to them, fine, a different messenger would come to each one at different times. You wouldn't expect them to all show up at the same moment. How do they know to time it so exactly?
How do you know they had cell phones?
Well,
that's how you know they had cell phones back there.
No, they had something better. Ikka de'amri klila havalahu. Some say that they had crowns. Each crown, Rashi explains, had three human face shapes on it, and each one had the name written. Each one had the name written as a caption for the face. So, like this, when one of them would have problems, then the face that face that has his name on it would change. So, therefore, they all had on their respective crown that it changed, and all of a sudden, the face that said Eov on it changed. So, let's say, in other words, Eliphaz had one that said Eov, Bildad, and Sofar. So now he saw that Eo's one had changed, and the same thing with the other two, and therefore he realized something's wrong and came. Yeah, that something's wrong. Marsha talks about, by the way, that this may have been done by Kishu, because that's what he says in that case. There's Machlokas in the Gemara in Sanhedrin whether Bnei Noach are allowed Kishu or not. If he says, in Sanhedrin, it's a Machlokas over there in Sanhedrin, we'll learn eventually that the Shem Jews, of course, are not allowed to, but again, we're saying Eliphaz and Bildad and Sofar were goyim, and Eov may or may not have been. So therefore, it could have been they were able to use kishuf for it. The ikadamri Iloni Havalahu. Others say it wasn't crowns, but rather trees that they had. Each one had a tree with the name. Three trees. Each one with the name of the friend. But given the
crowns, or three?
No, three trees. In other words, that each one had. Again, let's say for example, so Eov had in his garden or wherever three trees that have the names of the friends written on a plaque underneath them or whatever. But given the kamshi, so if the tree started wilting, habuyadi, then they know that something's wrong, and that's how they were all able to come. This is like what people say. Either a person needs to have friends like the friends of Eov, or he's better off dead. Because to have such close friends like that who are willing to drop everything and come is a tremendous thing. There's a vote on this, by the way, from one of the Balei Amusa, from Chaim Shmulevitz. I saw it also from Chesh Shlomo. He says, you see this also from the fact, we said on Amud Aleph, we said in the story over there, that the Eved should tell the Sultan, you can take everything that belongs to Eov, you can wound him in his body, etc. Achash nafshe shmer, but you have to preserve his life.
Right.
What happened? How come his friends don't get taken away from them? Because to take his friends away would be the equivalent of killing him. That's how we see it. In other words, if you have friends like Eov, then you're still alive. If not, then yeah. So that's what we're saying over here. Chavrus killing the Sultan. That's what we're saying, yeah. Okay. Now we're going to go off. That's brought from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz and also from the Chesed Shlomo. Okay. Now we're going to digress a second to something, and then we're going to get back to Eov. We're going to relate it back to the story of Eov. Pasuk says, at the end of Parshas Bereishis, it happened when people started to increase on the surface of the earth, and daughters were born to them. What does this mean? Why is Lodroiv? That's the question. What's the connection between Bonos and Lodroiv? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Revia Ba'alaylam. Rabbi Yochanan says it means, hello, that Revia, that increase came to the world. Because when Rashi says, Pashut, when a daughter is born, she's able to have children, even at a younger age than a boy. Therefore, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in fact, learns from this that girls mature faster than boys. So therefore, when you have girls, there's going to be a greater increase in the population sooner. That's Marsha says. That's a different approach also. A man can marry many women. And impregnate many women. So therefore, yeah, the more women there are in the world, the faster the population is going to increase. Then there's a third explanation also that Revia means raising children because girls are. Gershom says that mothers are usually better at raising their children than fathers. No offense to all of us over here, but so therefore, Revia Bala Olam, you know, the ability to raise children has come into the world.
We have good fathers.
Resh Lakish Shama Meriva Ba'alaylam. Resh Lakish says, no, the word Lodroiv over here is from the word Meriva, argument, came to the world. Because there's also the other side of it. For example, you have the Gemara in Yevamos over there that says, Eze Kenegdo, Eze Kenegdo, Zocha Eze, Loi Zocha Kenegdo. So not always sometimes her job. Just like we were saying, just like what the Malbim was saying about Eov, that somebody has to argue the other side the same way. Sometimes if you're going on the wrong path, you need somebody to correct you, to give you a course correction. Yeah. So now we're going to get back to you. If you're saying that the Pasuk is telling us that having more daughters is a good thing, it brings more increase to the world, why is it? We find at the end, Eev got back double of everything he had originally, double the number of cattle, double the number of everything. He also, it says, the Pasuk says that he had, at the beginning it says he had Shiva Bonim, Shalosh Bonim, at the beginning of the Sefer Eev, it says he had seven sons and three daughters. At the end it says he had Shivana Bonim, and most of the portions say the extra Nun over there comes to mean seven plus seven, so 14, Vashalosh Bonim, the three daughters. Why there wasn't an increase? That's the question. Amalai, so he answers him, Nehidula Nichbulu B'Shemes. True that they weren't increased in names. In other words, there aren't six rather than three. Abal Nichbulu B'Yofi, but they were increased in, they were doubled in beauty. And that's the Rashi says, Ve'imachal Kefal Tov Mimenu. That's the best possible Kefal. Marsha has a whole different explanation. Marsha says the vote is, it's not that most of the Mephoshim learn that Eev's children were killed in the disaster that happened over there with the house falling and this and that. And now he had, now later on, the Eivishta benched him with new children and to replace him. You can't replace a child, chas v'shalom, but whatever, you know, at least to as much as possible to make up for it. But Marsha learns that no, the children themselves were never killed in the first place. They went through all kinds of Yisurim also. Eventually, now he has the original seven sons and another seven sons. So the question is, why is it, Lechura, we see the Pasuk only mentioning names of his men, it lists the names of his three daughters, implying then that there's only those three. Why? And the answer is no, there were six altogether. The reason why it's mentioning these three is because they were particularly beautiful. So he had six daughters, according to that, the three original ones, and three later ones that he had born who were also exceptionally beautiful.
So it wasn't.
So he says they were. Yeah. Dichtiv, and you have because the pasuk says Vayhilo Shivana Bonim Bishalish Bonis. He had Shivana, which again most of the Mefarshim say means 14 sons, Bishalish Bonis, and three daughters. Vayikra Shema Achas Yemima. The pasuk continues with the names of the three daughters. He called the first one Yemima. Vashema Shenis Ktsia. Vashema Shlishis Keren Hapuch. Now why are they called that? Yemima Shoyta Doma LeYoyim. The first one was called Yemima because she was as bright as the daylight. Bora Kachamer, Rashi says, as beautiful and clear as the sun. Ktsia, she was called that. She had a beautiful smell, a beautiful aroma, like Ktsia, like one of the Noidif means like it spread aroma. Out. No, Noidif like it spreads out. Ktsia, like Ktsia, one of the spices from the Ktsotis, Moru Ktsia, Shabbat Asnei. Keren Apuch, why was the third one called Keren Apuch? Amid Vei Rav Shila, Shadoim Lekaun Ad Keresh. So in the Yeshiva of Rav Shila, they said because she resembled in color, I guess. The horn of a keresh. A keresh, Rashi says, is a type of chaya that has dark colored horns.
So how can we say that? On one hand, she looked like she was enlightening the day. On the other hand, she kind of...
That's the question. Mechaychu alav b'marava. So they laughed at that in Eretz Yisrael. This was Rav Shila said this in Bavel. In Eretz Yisrael, Rav Yosi b'Chanina, the Gemara tells us, is the one, whenever it says Mechaychu alav b'marava, means Rav Yosi b'Chanina, laughed at this in Eretz Yisrael, counted a keresh l'kusi. To say that she looked like the horn of a keresh is a defect.
Right.
That she was dark like that. You have Avraham Avinu saying, you know, when he comes to Mitzrayim, saying to Sarah, you know, now we're coming among people who are, you know, who are Bnei Cham or whatever, who are not so beautiful, therefore all of a sudden I realize, yeah, okay.
He said that?
Yeah, yesterday when the Gemara said it, at the end of the yesterday, that Avraham didn't look at Sarah until all of a sudden he looks, Hinei no yodaiti ki isha yifas marah. So Rashi mentions on the Pasuk over there in Lech Lecha that he's saying that up until now, you know, you're among people similar to you, so you live, but now we're coming among Bnei Cham who are unattractive and therefore... No, come on. Yeah, sometimes the contrast. Yeah, okay, onward. So, no, what it means is that she was like beautiful karkoim. Kukma derishka means a garden karkoim is saffron.
Right.
It's a beautiful reddish yellow spice. It has a nice smell and color to it. Tosfos has a different gerse, kuchlo derishka, that it means like koichel, like eyeshadow, which is a bluish color, which you have some kind, derishka, which is good quality stuff. It's brighter and shinier than the others, so the same thing, she was brighter and then more beautiful than other women.
But it's still not like daylight.
No, each one had her own kind of beauty, in other words.
Right.
But it's not like a counter to Keresh, which is dark, but rather she had her own kind of beauty, like Karkum or like Kochala, as the case may be. And therefore she was called Keren HaPuch. And how do we know, what do we know, what's Puch? Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Kisikri Bapuch. If you put puch on your eyes. So Karen puch. Puch is it's eyeshadow. It's some kind of bluish eyeshadow, bluish or whatever eyeshadow. So we see that puch is particularly beautiful stuff, and therefore she's similar.
Well,
to that.
The name for eyeshadow is kachol.
Kachol, yeah. Puch is a different stuff, maybe. Okay, whatever. All right. Further on the subject of having girls, Reb Shimon b'Rebbe Yisilidele Brasser. Reb Shimon b'Rebbe had a daughter who was born to him. He felt bad. He wanted to have a boy first. Ben Yayoda says like this, he missed the chance at a pidyon aben.
I mean, it's not his fault.
No, but he still felt bad. He would have liked to have a boy first. Amalei Avua, so his father, Rebbe, tells him, don't worry, revia ba'ala olam, like we said before, like Rebbe Yechanan, says increase has come to the world. It's a good thing. Amalei Bakapara, tenchumen shal hevel nichamoch avucha. So Bakapara tells Reb Shimon, though, you should know, your father gave you a comfort of hevel. The simple meaning of hevel is the simple meaning of hevel is vanity, nonsense, and whatever. In other words, it's not a real thing. Let's learn the next two lines until the end of what Bakapara says, and afterwards we'll discuss various meanings of it. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Yepshalo Olam Balischardim of Loina Kavis, the world can't exist without males and females. Ella, but Ashrei Lemisha Bonav Sfarim, happy is a person whose sons are males. Oy Lemisha Bonav Kavis, woe to a person whose children are females. Similarly, Similarly, the world can't get by without perfumers and without tanners. But a perfumer has a good job that smells good, and a tanner is the other way around. Ashley Mishu Menuse Bursmi, a happy is a person whose job is to be a spice dealer. Oylele Mishu Menuse Bursi, and woe to the person who ends up that his job in life is to be the tanner. Now, what do we mean by this? First of all, I'll tell you actually the Meiri has I first heard this verse from my seventh grade Rebbe when we, this next one that I'm going to say now when we were learning this. Rebbe Yosef Reitz. But I since found that it's in the Meiri. He says the verse is Shabonim Scharim and Shabonim Nekevis. Person is good if when he has sons that those sons taka act like Scharim. Not so good when Bonim Nekevis. I'm saying no, he's not Nekevis. When his sons act like girls. Anyway. But other than that, though, so there's a few different things
you
on
saw
this.
Saw that in the Miri?
Yeah, so the Miri brings it, yeah.
You can't say it literally, otherwise it happens time to not make sure.
So Marsha relates this to the idea of Piri Viridia. Like this. We know that to be Makai and Piri Viridia, you need a son and a daughter. Now, let's look back what happened with Adam and Chava. They started out, they were on the way to be Makai and Piri Viridia. They had Cain and his twin sister, they had Hevel and his twin sisters. Then what happens? Though Hevel is killed and Cain goes away in disgrace. At that point, all they have is daughters.
Right.
Later on, eventually, they have Sheth. And Chava says, Kishos le'alekim zara'acha tachas Hevel. Now, finally, I have a child instead of Hevel, who was killed by Cain. And with now, so to speak, like now we're finally, after all this time, we're able to be Cain Piri Viridia. So therefore, Reb Bakapara is telling Reb Shimon, your father is giving you tanchumen shel Hevel. He's giving you the kind of comfort that involving Hevel, the kind that Chava had after a replacement son was finally born for Hevel. In other words, yes, of course you need a daughter to be Cain Piri Viridia, but you know, that's the first, I can understand that you wanted a son first, in other words. Well, in other words, the coin's that, yeah, there's a positive aspect to it, but you should know, yeah. There's also a different verse. There's a verse that I saw, I think, from the film The Gaon that says that the Rebbe is focusing on what's good la'olam. We said before, the world needs the revere bar la'olam. And Bakapara is focusing, yes, but for you yourself, you would have rather had a boy first. I'll tell you one other interesting one. Sam Sofer says like this. He says, when you consider a father has a little more control, at least in those days, over who his daughter marries and who his son marries. The daughter, we know, you can give a kabbal kedushin on her behalf. Okay, we learned in kedushin, right, that a man can give a kabbal kedushin on behalf of his daughter. Therefore, if a person wants that his descendants should be tamid chachamim, if he has a daughter, it's pretty well guaranteed. He'll marry her off to a tamid chacham, and then on the other hand, if he has a son, not necessarily. His son might end up marrying somebody else, and yeah, you know, the wife, a lot of times, you know, the wife often has a stronger influence on the household, and not necessarily are the children who grow up to be tamid chacham. So Rebbe, being an Onov, being one of the, we know the famous thing, the Mishmesh Rebbe Botla Onov of Yerasket, so he being an Onov, he felt, there's no, how do I guarantee that my family should continue to be Tamar Chachamim? I don't think that I myself am on, I'm on that level. At least if on the level that guaranteed that it'll continue in my family. At least if there's daughters, then fine. Reb Shimon, who is a Talmid Chacham in his own right, will be able to eventually marry her off to a Talmid Chacham, and it'll continue that way. And Bakapara, on the other hand, says no. That's Rebbe being over humble. That's not necessary. You, Reb Shimon, should have had a son first, and you would be perfectly capable of making sure that he goes in the Derech HaYosha and becomes a Talmid Chacham, and that his descendants become Talmid Chacham.
So it's still on the Talmud.
Yes. Well, but in other words, he's saying that you, Reb Shimon, have the capability, you, Reb Shimon, and Rebbe himself have the capability of doing that. Rebbe doesn't have to think to himself that you need daughters in order for the line to continue.
You didn't have sons. Keep working. You can marry more women.
Okay. All right. So, Ketanari, the Gemara says this argument that
from the Eivishter.
Yeah, it's all from the Eivishter, but of course it's right. Off the tribe. We know the mitzvah period of Rebbe is to have a son and a daughter. So like this, yeah. If
you claim that there's some families that have 8 daughters, 9 daughters?
It happens. The Eivishter runs things, but, you know, you have to try, and the rest is in Eivishter's hands. Okay. So the Gemara says, Kitanoi, this discussion that we're having, whether it's a good thing to have girls or not, is actually a machlokas tanoi. We say on the pasuk, Hashem berach Avram bakol. Hashem blessed Avram with everything. My bakol, famous thing. Rameir says the bracha is that he didn't have a daughter. So we see, according to the mayor, not having daughters is a bracha.
What?
Okay, so some of the poshim say, again, look, you try what you can, but also some of the poshim say that when you know, we learn in Yavamas that you have the Shammai says it can be two boys. And Basil says a boy and a girl. I saw somebody wants to say that maybe even Basil is just saying it can also be a boy and a girl. But if it's two boys, you're also a kind of mitzvah. I mean, look, Avraham only had the one legitimate son anyway. Yitzchak, Yishmael is not fully considered his son anyway. But what about it? This is before Matan Torah, so yeah. Okay. If you have to try. Yeah, Bonim Harim. If he has to, yeah. Okay. Anyway, there are Mephoshim who say that actually Rameyer might not say in general that not having daughters is a good thing. It might have been specifically with Abraham, the bracha is that he doesn't, because who would she marry? If she ends up marrying, like this, for example, you know, they brought Rivka in for Yitzchak, and they settled in Eretz Yisrael.
Such a high level.
But who is there in that generation who she could marry who should still stay who she's supposed to be? The point is, usually the wife follows her husband to wherever he lives. So if she ended up marrying, let's say, somebody from Avraham's family, she'd go living in Haran, and that's it. You know, what are you going to have? Descendants of Avraham Avinu who are going to worship Avodah Zarah and going to be, you know, assimilated among the goyim over there. So the bracha in that case was Bekeret, that he didn't have to worry about that. Rabbi Yehuda says Adarav, but the bracha is that he did have a daughter, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, his bracha wouldn't have been complete. You can't say Bakol unless he had a daughter as well. Usually we know Acherim means your mayor, but here obviously it can't, because we just said Remeir. Bas Hoysel El Avraham Bakol Shma. That what the pasuk means is Avraham had a daughter, and her name was Bakol. Yeah, there's many different famous things about this. The Ramban on the pasuk has a long, detailed explanation of Pikabala, that it means that Avraham reached, that Avraham was able to achieve Sfirat HaMalchus, which is like a daughter. There's someplace in Chassidus where it talks about the idea that a bas is the idea of Kabbalah's oil, so it shows that Avraham reached that level. Bakol Shmo, in other words, besides the idea on the surface that it's her name, there's also the idea that was the completion of her, of his avodah. Bakol Shmo, like her existence or what he accomplished that is represented by her, completes what he had to accomplish in the world. Here's another thing Avraham had. It's Dagninus Hoise Belibishal Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu had in his heart, he was an expert at stargazing. So this, all the kings of the east and west would come to his door, would come early to his door to get advice from him. So that was another...
he was reading the Mazel
and things like that? Yes, in Mazel Yisrael, but there is Mazel for the Goyim. So yeah, like this, he was an expert at that, so therefore everybody would come to him, and he'd have an opportunity to also teach them about the Eivishter. So that was also part of the Hashem Beirach HaSavram Bakol, that he gave him that ability. Reb Shimon Ben Yechoyah, I mean, here's another one, famous thing. Evan Tova Hoseth Lui B'Tzavodah Shal Avraham Avinu. There was a precious stone hanging around Avraham Avinu's neck. Every sick person who sees it immediately is healed.
Tell me which one.
When Avraham Avinu passed away from the world, the Ebrisha took this precious stone and hung it on the sun. So there's many different explanations of this, of course. What does it mean? Does it mean literally? Does it mean does it mean figuratively? In that case, what does the Eben Tova represent? One of the many interesting explanations is, I think, from the Rashba. He says the Eben Tova over here represents the fact that Avraham had this unique ability to teach people about the Eibishter. As we know, he did his entire life. When he passed away, you don't have that. You don't have an Avraham Avinu to do it anymore. The Eibishter put it in the Galgachama, in the sense you look at the way the sun and the planets and whatever, how they work in such an orderly way, and you realize that there's an Eibishter who created them. That's the Eben Tova. And therefore, when we say that it healed, means not just physical illnesses. Tosis discusses that a little bit over here, but also it means spiritual illnesses. The fact that a person is sick, not realizing the fact that a person in the Shama is sick, not realizing who created the world. Omer Abaya, Heinu Da Amri Inshi Idla Yoma Idla Ktsira. This is like what people say when the day, meaning the sun rises, then the sick person feels better. Because that Eben Tova, which heals the sick, is now in the sun, and therefore it has that effect. Davarach, another explanation of Hashem Beirach as Avraham Bakhel, is Shalem Morad Esav B'yamav, that Esav did not rebel while Avraham was alive. As we're going to say in a few lines, on the next line, the famous five Averis that Esav did is on the day that Avraham passed away.
On the day,
but still Avraham didn't live to see it. And yet another explanation is that Yishmael did tshuva while Avraham was alive. And how do we know that Esav didn't rebel and start doing Averis while Avraham was alive? Like this. Yichtiv, you have the Pasuk says in Parshas Todos, Vayava Esav in Asad Vahuayu. It says Esav came home from the field and he was tired. And then there was the whole thing with the Nizid Adoshim. V'tana, and we learn in a Braisa, Oysayem Nifta Avraham. You know, that was the day that Avraham Avinu passed away. But also Yaakov Avinu, that was the day that Avraham passed away. Yitzchak and Esav were 15 at the time. But also, Yaakov Avinu tapshol shel adoshim menachem et Yitzchak aviv. So Yaakov was preparing a stew of lentils in order to use it for nicham avelim, to use it for the sodas Avraham, for his father Yitzchak. We know that an oval right after the kavura is not supposed to eat his own food. The first meal that he's given is supposed to be from other people. So that's not the only place, but yeah, it's a halacha brought in the Gemara, yeah. So Yaakov is preparing this lentil stew in order to use for Nicham Avelim for Yitzchak. Or Maishna Shaladashim, why if it's lentils then? Amri Ma Rava Meshmei the Rabba Bamori. So they say in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Rabba Bamori, Ma Adosha Zu Ein Lapeh, because just like a lentil doesn't have a mouth, it's closed off. So Rashi explains most kinds of beans have a crack or a cleft or whatever along one side. Lentil, it's closed up completely, right?
A kidney bean.
So just like it doesn't, oval ain't like pear. The same thing, an oval has no mouth because it just sits there quietly. Dovracha, another explanation. Ma adosha zu megugelus, just as a lentil is completely round. Af avelus megugelus machazeres aboyer. So avelus is something that rolls around and eventually reaches everybody in the world. My benayu, what's the practical difference between these two explanations? Is ikke benayu lanachomu bebei. The nafkamina would be, can you use eggs instead? If you say it's a matter of shein lo peh, fine. Eggs have no peh either. They're also sealed on all sides. If you say it's galgal achozeh ba'olam, then because eggs aren't really round. They're oval. They're oval, so therefore they're not really. Yeah. They don't. Yeah.
They would bounce if they were rolling fast enough.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Amar Rav Yechonon, chomesh averus ova oser rosha ba'osayim. That rosha, meaning Esav, committed five averus on that day. His grandfather. He had relations with a Naira Hamorosa, which, okay, Tosfos points out, technically, doesn't apply to Bnei Noach, but it's still a disgusting thing to do.
I didn't have
Morosa
before.
That's what Tosfos asked. What do you really have? There's no such thing as a Naira Hamorosa in Dinim of Bnei Noach. But still, they had, okay, you know, whatever, that she's engaged to be married, whatever. It's a Dover Mechur, Tosfos says. It's a disgusting thing to do. That's one. Number two, v'horegas ha-nefesh, he killed somebody. Number three, v'kafar b'ikir, he denied the Eibishter. Number four, v'kafar b'tchias ha-mesim, he denied tchias ha-mesim. And number five, v'shotas ha-bechorda, and he made fun of, he mocked the bechorda, like, who needs it? Remember, the bechorda was the ability, the bechorda is that he and his descendants are going to have the privilege to serve the Eibishter. So he mocked that, like, who needs it?
What day was it that he did it?
What do you mean, what day?
On the day of the Mechira, what day was it? Was it a special day? Was it like Yom Kippur?
Yeah, it was the day that Abraham passed away. That's what we're saying.
But what day was that?
Oh, I have no idea.
So you could say, like, Eeyov, you know, you don't judge a man. And
no, but this wasn't a fact. It wasn't a fact. He came home, maybe by Yom Kippur, and all of a sudden he finds out Abraham died, and they're preparing lentils to him, whatever. He didn't do this out of Tsar.
Remember Elazar ben Shimon and the person who he killed?
Yeah, that was Nairamur, also we have a story. Yeah. Okay, I don't know if this was necessary. Okay. All right. How do we know all these five? How do we know all these five things? And by the way, before we get to these five things, by the way, I'll tell you a fascinating verse that I heard on one of my kids' tapes. I don't know what the source of it is. So we find in the psukim over there that Esav asked for this red soup, probably changing him into Adama, and therefore he was nicknamed Eder, which became the name of the nation descendant. So they asked, okay, but we're saying he did these five Averis. So why are we nicknaming him Edom after the red soup? Why don't we call him, we should be calling him Ritzeach, we should be calling him Baal Naira Mayrosa, whatever. Why was Edom? The verse is because the root of all these Averis is his lack of self-control. I see this red stuff, I have to have it right away. And from that comes out all the various other Averis. So the person's ability to control themselves, I don't need this right now, I can wait, is an important step. What?
He was impulsive.
He was impulsive, yeah. Many years ago, by the way, my mother pointed out, when you get down to it, lentils are red only when you're first starting to cook them. Right. So it wasn't even they weren't even ready to eat yet when he walks in and says, "Give me some of this red stuff." He's eating it raw.
Brown,
almost raw, yeah. Okay. Anyway.
They're not red.
Not red. Depends on different kinds of lentils. Okay. All right. How do we know each of these things? So we know that because says he came from the field of we find in the case of a Naira Mordosa who was raped, the Torah uses the expression that he found her in the field. Yeah, we're saying Naira Mordosa. You have the word oyef used in connection with killing. Woe is to me that my soul is worn out, is tired from the killing. It was Nimrod he killed. Yeah. Because he wanted it. The Medrash says because Nimrod had the special clothes that went back to Adam Medrash and Esav wanted them, and so he stole them from him. Okay. Very nice, but he wasn't killing him because he's a Rashi, he's killing him because he wanted the cloth. You have to not just do the right thing, you have to do the right thing for the right reason. Okay. Besides which, also, I'll tell you something else, since we're digressing so much anyway, may as well. There's a pasuk in Sefer Hosea that says like this. The Eved should tell the Navi Hosea that pretty soon I am going to take revenge on the house, on the dynasty of Yehu, for the blood of Ahab. So the question is, Yehu killed Ahab and his whole family at the Eved's command when he was first anointed as king. Why is he now being held responsible for it? So Rashi mentions it briefly on the pasuk, and the Bali Amos talk about it in more detail. The reason is because Yehu ended up doing the same Averis himself. So therefore, as Ahav, why was Ahav's family supposed to be wiped out? Because of Avodah Zarah, yeah. And Yehu's family wound up doing the Egla Azov and whatever. So like, if you're gonna get rid of Ahav and then you're gonna get rid of his Avodah as well, fine. But if you're gonna do the same Avodah, then yeah, you're Stalin murderer. Same thing over here. If Esav himself is a bloodthirsty kind of guy, like Nimrod was, by what right are you killing Nimrod?
Insanity to do the same thing expected in different.
Yeah, it's different, but okay, yeah. All right, onward. How do we see that Esav denied the Eved Sivhacha Loma Zeli, because he says, why is this to me? In our parasha, this is Hashem, and I will glorify him. So we see he says, Loma Zeli, what do I need the Eved? He says, behold, I'm going to die, like there's nothing after this, so why should I bother? And when he made fun of the Bechorah, he mocked the Bechorah, it's clear, because the pasuk says, "Vayivaseh the Bechorah." So those are five of it. Okay. And where do we know that Yishmael did tshuva while Abraham was alive? Like this. Kihadir Ravina and Rav Chama bar Buzi have yasvi hamei deRava. One time, Ravina and Rav Chama bar Buzi were sitting as talmidim in front of Rava, become a nam named Rava, and Rava was napping.
He was
not that kind of Aya, but yeah, he was napping. And actually, there is a Gemara in Moed Katan that uses the word menamnem to mean near death, like goises. I once thought maybe it could mean over here also that he's near death, but still he's still devoted to teaching his Talmidim, and his Talmidim are still devoted to learning one last thing from him. I don't know. Anyway, Amalei Rabbeinu L'Rav Chama Babozi, Vade Dam Ritu, is it true what you say that there's a general rule in the Torah called Misa Sheyesh Bagvia? Whenever a person dies and it's described in the Torah with the word Gvia, Vayigva, Vayigva means like he expired, like he fainted away, like his body stopped working, kind of. Yeah. Zurim is Sasan Shal Tzadikim, that's used only when it's describing the death of Tzadikim. Amalei Ein. So Rav Chama Babozi says yes. Ravina asked him, but yes, that's true. Whenever it says Gvia, it means Tzadikim.
Kol Misa?
Amalei. So Ravina asked, well, Dura Mabel. What about by the Dura Mabel? It says by Yigva Kolbaso. They were the furthest thing from Tzadikim. Amalei. Rav Chama Babozi answers, Anan Gvia Vastifa Kamrinan. We don't just mean when it says Gvia. We mean when it uses the two expressions by Yigva and by Yayosif, by Yayosif Alamo. So then it means that by Yigva means like he had a painless death, by Yayosif Alamo, when he was gathered together with his people in Gan Eden. By the Dura Mabel, doesn't say by Yosef. Okay, so the question is, yeah, that's one meaning of it. Yeah.
It means what?
It means the Eidrisha gathers me in Gan Eden. Okay, so Ravina asks, by Yishmol, the Tzibik Gvi Abatifa. Fine, but what about by Yishmol? It says, by Yigva, by Yosef Alamo. What kind of a tzaddik was he? That's the question. Right, Adahochi Ita Buhu Rava. As they were talking about this, Rava woke up. Amalahu, he says to them, Dardiki, children, I want to explain to you. Hochi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, you should know that this is what Rabbi Yochanan said. Yes, Yishmol also Truva B'chaye Avi. Yishmol did Truva during his father's life. And how do we know that? Shenema, Vayikvru Oysa Yitzchok Yishmol Bono, because it says at the end of Chayasara that Yitzchok and Yishmol, his son, no, not the fact that it says Bono, the fact that it says Yitzchok and then Yishmol. So it shows that Yishmol recognized that after all, Yitzchok, even though he's younger, is a legitimate heir. All this time, he had always been claiming, I'm older, I'm greater than you, I had a brit milah at an older age. There's even Mefarshim say that maybe even Yishmol was one of the ones who was claiming all this time that Yitzchak is, he was one of the Leksanei Adur, maybe you claim that Yitzchak is not Abraham's son at all, but rather Rabbi Melech. Now we're saying that they let Yitzchak go ahead of him at the funeral, showing that he accepted that Yitzchak is the primary one.
Because he did Shuvah.
Yes, that shows he did Shuvah. So the question is, why? Who says? Maybe the Torah is just listing them in the order of their chachma. Maybe in the actual procession, Yishmol went first. But when the Torah is recording this, it says that it mentions Yitzchak first because he's more important than Yishmol. The answer is no. Because Elamayata, if you're going to argue that way, what about later on when Yitzchak passes away and it says, Vayikvaru Oysa Esav Yaakov Bonav, and it says Esav first, my time Eloi Choshev Lo Derech Chachmas, and why over there doesn't it list Yaakov first? Ella, Mida'akdime, it has to be that in each case, the Taka is listing the actual order. Yishmol ended up conceding that Yitzchak is the primary one and let him go first. Esav never conceded that to Yaakov, and therefore at the funeral, Esav ended up going first.
Even though he bought
Bechor. Ella, Mida'akdime Ad Burei Ad Burei, so we see since the Pasuk lists Yitzchak first, it shows that Yishmol let him go first. And since he let him go first, that shows that Yishmol did Shuva while Abraham was alive. That proves our point. And therefore, yes, it's valid to say Gria and Asifa by Yishmol, because in the end he did Shuva. How did he do Shuva?
Yeah.
I mean,
what was the
Avera? What part of the Avera was that he wasn't recognizing that Yitzchak is Tibi Yitzchak Yikara L'Chazara, that he wasn't accepting that statement from the Eibishter.
And how did he show he accepted it?
So now he showed he accepted it by showing that he's letting Yitzchak go first. There are three people who the Eibishter gave them a taste in this world of like Olam Haba. Elohein Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Choice to ask, what about Eeyah, we said the other day that he had his cattle, a pasture, his cattle are grazing immediately because it's growing immediately when after they plant. Choice says that's only in one thing. Abraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov had it across the board, in everything in their life. How do we know that? Abraham Dichtiv Be'Bakol, Yitzchak Dichtiv Be'Mikol, Yaakov Dichtiv Be'Kol. This is where we get it. In benching, Bakol, Mikol, Kol. This is where we get it from. So they had Kol, they had everything. One of the Mephoroshim says, actually, how do we see that that relates to Gan Eden? Because we see Hashem tells all the Medushin right at the beginning, Mikol Eitagon Ochol Tochol. So we see that Kol is associated with Gan Eden. Yeah. Another one. Shlosha Leshola Fehen Yetzahara. There are three people that the Yetzahara did not have control of. Elohein Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Again, the same one. Dichtivu Bakol Mikol Kol. V'yesh Emim Ach David. Some say also David, that says in the pasuk, we're all familiar with it, the Perek Aleph Tanya, the Libi Cholal Bekubi, my heart is empty within me.
What does that mean?
Means that he killed his Yetzirah, that his Yetzirah is dead. His Yetzirah, Libi, meaning his Yetzirah, is dead within him.
Cholal means empty.
Cholal means empty, you're dead. Yeah, it can also mean killed, yeah. Yeah, Yitzri Haram Mes Bekubi, Rashi says, yeah.
Different meaning?
Yeah, they're two different shoshim, I guess, yeah. Okay, maybe it's just because of a dead person and empty of life. I don't know. Anyway, the Idach, what would the other opinion answer to that? Why doesn't he list him together with Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? Because he says, Sarei Hoda Kamidka. That pasuk, David is not saying that his Yetzirah is killed. He's saying literally my heart, that my heart is dead within me because of all the tzaras I have. So therefore, that doesn't necessarily show that his Yetzirah is gone. Tosfos asks that, and the answer is that so Tosfos says what it means is the Eibishter saw that they're working so hard to stay away from Avedis, so therefore our body tire Messiah knows. So that from now on the Yetzirah won't have control over them anymore. Many Mephoshim also related something that Amnam writes and in connection with the whole question of Bechira Chofshis. We say in these weeks Parshias Vayichavai Chazik Hashem Eslei Paroi, the Eibishter hardened Paroi's heart. So what is it when a person has done so many Avedis, the Eibishter takes away from him the ability to do tshuva in order that he should get punished more and more. And Midah Tova Merubah Fakeret. If a person tries to make himself better, the Eibishter helps him to give them more and more of an opportunity to be able to do good and to stay away from his Yetzirah.
Would he be called a Tzadik Gamor according to that definition, David?
If we say that, yes. So that's the Alter Rebbe mentions him in Tanya as an example, Shehor Gebetainus, that he actually killed his Yetzirah through all his fasting. Which, according to that, maybe also it means Sarei Hoda Kamidka. Maybe another explanation of it could be that David is saying, I had to fast, I had to go through a lot of tsar in order to kill my Yetzirah, whereas Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov got it without that kind of, not natural, but they got it without that kind of tsar. It's about time for Bayrev, I guess, so I'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.
We're only one, two.